Mansoor, a Democrat win in Georgia could make Kamala Harris one of the most powerful people in the world. By Rebecca Mansoor on December 16, 2020. Kamala Harris stands to become one of the most powerful vice presidents in American history if the Democrats win the two Senate runoff elections in Georgia next month. That's because if the Democrats win those races, the Senate will be evenly split 50-50. And that will give a Vice President Harris the power to cast the tie-breaking vote to hand control of the Senate to the Democrats, making the Democrats the Senate majority. And with control of the chamber, the Democrats will have the power to set the Senate's legislative agenda, decide which bills, nominations, and measures get taken to the floor for a vote, assign the leaders and members of the various Senate committees, and choose what those committees will investigate. Of course, many vice presidents have been called upon to cast a Senate tiebreaker even when one party had a clear majority. But a split Senate has happened only three times in U.S. history: in 1881, 1953, and for nearly 6 months in 2001. So, the outcome of the Georgia Senate races could put Kamala Harris in a position enjoyed by very few vice presidents. But even more important, Georgia will determine whether Harris can cast the deciding vote on a whole slew of far-left legislation that could dramatically change the course of our country and America's place in the geopolitical landscape. The far-left's tiebreaker. What could Kamala Harris cast the tie-breaking vote on? Far-left nominees, for starters. A Democrat Senate majority will allow Biden and Harris to assemble the most far-left cabinet possible without having to worry that Mitch McConnell will block their nominees. Ending the filibuster. Next up, Harris could change the Senate forever by casting the tie-breaking vote to get rid of the filibuster. By eliminating the ability of Republicans to use the Senate's cloture rules to block legislation, the Democrats would be able to push through their far-left legislative agenda with a simple majority vote. The Green New Deal, ACT, and her now expanded squad have demanded that Biden deliver on the Green New Deal by enacting climate justice. And she's declared that she'll be working very hard to ensure that Biden and Harris have a Democratic Senate majority to pass this legislation. As for what that bill will look like, we know that the Biden-Harris campaign endorsed a version of the Green New Deal that calls for 100% renewable electricity generation by 2035. It should be noted that California adopted a similar green goal, but couldn't keep the lights on because, as they discovered, relying on wind and solar energy left the state vulnerable to blackouts on days with lots of cloud cover and little wind. With California's own Kamala Harris casting the deciding Senate vote, the whole nation might soon enjoy California-style rolling blackouts without the California weather. A Democrat climate justice bill will also likely include dramatic curbs on oil and natural gas production with the goal of transitioning away from fossil fuel altogether, which Joe Biden promised to do. The oil and natural gas industry supports up to 10.3 million American jobs and adds roughly $1.3 trillion to the U.S. economy, according to a 2017 study conducted by PricewaterhouseCoopers. All of this could potentially be on the chopping block. Amnesty. Kamala Harris promised that she and Biden will send an immigration bill to Congress in their first 100 days that will reinstate DACA and grant amnesty for over 11 million illegal aliens. Harris also vowed to end Trump's travel ban on foreign nationals from countries that either do not share critical national security data with the United States or have been identified by U.S. federal authorities as harboring or sponsoring terrorist organizations. The Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of Trump's ban in a June 2018 ruling in Trump v. Hawaii. As part of his unity platform with Bernie Sanders, Biden also promised to provide free U.S. taxpayer-funded health care coverage to illegal aliens enrolled in DACA. During the Democratic primary, both Harris and Biden endorsed the idea of providing free health care coverage to the estimated 22 million illegal aliens living in the United States, which could cost U.S. taxpayers anywhere from $23 billion to $66 billion every year. We can also expect the Biden administration, on behalf of Biden and Harris Wall Street and Silicon Valley donors, to back legislation to increase the flow of foreign visa workers who compete with Americans for jobs and undercut American wages. Rescinding the tax cuts, Biden made eliminating Trump's tax cuts a centerpiece of his campaign. A Democrat Senate majority makes this not only possible, but a near certainty. The economy is already feeling the early impact of Biden's promise to raise taxes and reinstate the regulatory red tape that Trump removed. The economic boom we saw in the first 3 years of the Trump administration is unlikely to return anytime soon. The latest unexpectedly high jobless numbers reflect an economy in retreat due to the specter of endless Biden-mandated lockdowns and a canceled Christmas season. A slowed-down Biden economy will push the U.S. further behind communist China, which is already gloating triumphantly about America's decline and defeat in the wake of the pandemic. Universal mail-in voting and other fraud-friendly election reform. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has vowed to reintroduce and pass an election reform bill on the very first day the new Congress convenes. The bill, known as House Resolution No. 1 or H.R.1, is a wide-ranging overhaul of our election system that was first passed by Democrats in 2019. Senator Tom Cotton, R.R., described H.R.1 as a radical election law bill that would have mandated universal mail-out balloting in every state of the Union. It would have required states to permit ballot harvesting. It wouldn't have only prohibited photo identification. It would have prohibited even signature verification. Conservatives sounded the alarm on H.R.1 when it was first introduced last year. A memo signed by 150 conservative leaders warned that H.R.1 mandates that states grant voting rights to convicted felons, requires all states to provide mail-in absentee ballots, prevents states from limiting vote by mail or early voting, requires states to enact same-day voter registration, makes it more difficult for states to discover if a voter is also voting in another state, criminalizes political speech that the government deems discouraging, and takes redistricting power away from elected officials and gives it to left-leaning commissions. If a Democrat-controlled Senate passes their version of H.R.1, it could codify into law many of the fraud-friendly election practices that are the subject of such controversy right now. A recent poll found that nearly 80% of Trump voters feel that the 2020 election was stolen by Democrats via fraud and illegal voting. This election reform bill would make it much easier for the Democrats to use the same methods to repeat their 2020 victory in perpetuity. Gun control. Both Biden and Harris have endorsed sweeping gun control measures, including legislation that would require gun owners to register every AR-15 rifle and high-capacity magazine they own under the National Firearms Act of 1934, NFA, and pay a $200 tax on each of these rifles and magazines or else sell them to the government. This NFA registration process would require American gun owners to register their AR-15 rifles with federal authorities, submit their fingerprints and photographs, and potentially submit to an FBI background check just to keep the weapons they already own. Defunding the police. Funding for police departments is handled at the state and local level, but federal legislation can definitely impact the distribution of federal tax dollars to local police forces. Take, for example, the Justice and Policing Act that House Democrats passed in June. The bill would make some federal funding contingent on whether local police departments adhere to the bill's reform measures. The House bill died in the Senate, where Senate Democrats tanked the Republican-backed criminal justice reform bill introduced by Senator Tim Scott, RSC, but a Democrat-controlled Senate could take up some version of the House bill. In addition to this, Biden has promised to create a National Police Oversight Commission during his first 100 days and has endorsed the Safe Justice Act, which aims to overhaul the federal sentencing and corrections system. The Globalist Great Reset. Biden's Build Back Better is his version of the Globalist Great Reset, which is the brainchild of the World Economic Forum's founder and chairman Klaus Schwab, who believes the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies in the wake of the pandemic. You could call this the Party of Davos legislative agenda, and it's very big on climate change politics, which led Breitbart's James Dowling poll to describe the Great Reset as the latest code phrase for green global tyranny. A Biden administration COVID stimulus package will probably reflect his Build Back Better agenda and will likely be full of provisions mandating redistributive justice, aka swampy crony capitalism and kickbacks to Democrat political friends. Taxpayer-funded abortion and defense of abortion up to birth. We can expect a Harris Democrat Senate to embrace far-left social policies, starting with abortion. We will likely see a push to repeal the Hyde Amendment, which prohibits taxpayer funding of abortion. In fact, Politico reports that Xavier Becerra, Biden's reported choice for Health and Human Services Secretary, has voiced support for repealing the decades-old budget rider that blocks federal funding for abortions. We could also see a federal bill defending abortion up to birth for any reason, which states like Virginia, New York, and Illinois have already passed. Targeting pro-life states like Georgia, in 2019, Kamala Harris introduced legislation that would target states like Georgia for introducing pro-life heartbeat bills. Harris' bill would impose federal restrictions on these pro-life states similar to the ones imposed on Jim Crow states during the Civil Rights era, thereby treating pro-lifers the same way we treated racists. The bill would force states like Georgia to get pre-clearance from the Department of Justice before they could enact any new law concerning abortion. This bill could be taken up again in a Democrat-controlled Senate with Harris as the presiding officer. Ending women's sports, we could see legislation that effectively ends women's sports as we know it by mandating that biological males who identify as women be allowed to compete against biological females. House Democrats passed a bill in 2019 called the Equality Act that would effectively do just that. Of course, it had no chance of getting past a Republican Senate, but a Democrat-controlled Senate could take it up. In fact, Joe Biden has promised that passage of the Equality Act will be among the top priorities of his first 100 days. Defensive puberty blockers for children, the Equality Act would also require medical professionals to perform irreversible gender transition procedures on minors, regardless of conscientious objection or best medical judgment, according to the Heritage Foundation. The bill would essentially provide federal protection for the use of puberty blockers on young children and criminalize any objections to these medically questionable practices. The passage of this federal bill would effectively negate the legislation being introduced by various states to ban the use of puberty blockers on children. Stripping away First Amendment protections for religious groups, the Equality Act would make sexual orientation and gender identity among protected classes under the Civil Rights Act, thereby treating Americans who do not endorse all aspects of the LGBTQ+ agenda the same way we treat racists. This would effectively strip away First Amendment protections for Americans with deeply held religious beliefs at odds with this agenda. The Equality Act would force employers and workers to conform to new sexual norms or else lose their businesses and jobs, the Heritage Foundation notes. It would also remove federal protections for faith-based groups that run adoption and foster care services and homeless shelters, forcing them to either close their doors or reject the tenets of their faith. Taxpayer-funded transgender surgery. During the 2020 campaign, Biden issued a plan to advance LGBTQ+ equality in America and around the world. Among the plan's extensive action items is a vow to ensure coverage for comprehensive care for LGBTQ+ Americans by stipulating that transgender surgery be covered without cost sharing by federal health plans. Such a policy would likely be codified in any Biden administration health care legislation. Taxpayer funding for transgender surgery has been championed by Democrats in California, the home of Kamala Harris and Xavier Becerra. In September, California's Governor Newsom signed into law a bill that creates a fund for taxpayer-subsidized transgender surgery. Statehood for the District of Columbia. In June, the Democrat-controlled House voted 232-180 in favor of granting statehood to the District of Columbia. This has been on the Democrats' wish list for years. That's because statehood for our Democrat-dominated capital city will give Democrats two more U.S. Senate seats forever. The House bill was dead on arrival in the Republican-controlled Senate, but that will change if the Democrats gain control. And if D.C. gets statehood, there will likely be a renewed push to grant Puerto Rico statehood, giving the Democrats another two Senate seats and a stronger lock on controlling the Senate for decades. Packing the Supreme Court. By far one of the most consequential things a Harris Democrat-controlled Senate could do is pack the Supreme Court, a goal which many Democrats have endorsed. Both Biden and Harris have refused to declare whether they are for or against court packing. Court packing is the beginning of the end of our republic. If the Democrats pull that thread, it will unravel the tapestry of our constitutional system. That's because packing the Supreme Court means adding more justices than the current total of 9. For example, if Biden were to add 6 justices to the Supreme Court, that would give the left a supermajority on the court for decades. In practice, this would remove the checks and balances of our constitutional system by allowing the Democrats to ram through their legislative agenda safe in the knowledge that the Supreme Court, packed with a supermajority of far-left justices appointed by a Democrat president, will uphold that agenda. That's why FDR tried to pack the court in the 1930s. He wanted to protect his New Deal from being overturned by the Supreme Court. I'm sure the current crop of Democrats would like to protect their own legislative agenda from a similar fate. But would they really try to pack the Supreme Court with a 50-plus Kamala Senate majority? Of course they would if they think they can get away with it. When have the Democrats ever shied away from using power? The last time they had control of the White House, the House, and the Senate, they overhauled our entire healthcare system. That was 10 years ago. Does anyone think the Democrats have grown more moderate in the last 10 years? Or less bold in wielding power? But I thought Joe Biden positioned himself as the moderate in the Democratic primary? Didn't he win the primary by defeating the socialists in his party? Yes, but the only way Biden will be able to govern as a moderate is if Mitch McConnell keeps control of the Senate. He will not be able to fend off the radicals in his party unless he is forced to tell the squad, "Sorry, I can't do that because Mitch won't let me." Don't take my word for it. Listen to Bernie Sanders, who has been saying that winning the Georgia runoffs will make it possible to pursue an agenda that will make Biden the most progressive president in our lifetime. He told MSNBC's Ali Velshi that the Democrats are working as hard as we can to make sure that the two Democratic candidates win in Georgia because those two elections will clearly have a profound impact on everybody in our country. But don't worry, says the New York Times. The Times assures us that, even if the Democrats win the two Georgia Senate seats, progressives will still face significant barriers to passing their policies because it's unlikely that all 50 Democratic senators would back all these left-wing policies that Bernie is dreaming of. But do you want to take the New York Times word for that? Do you trust Joe Manchin with your Second Amendment rights? He's got lots of plans for gun control, by the way. And remember how moderate Alabama's Democrat Senator Doug Jones was? He voted with his party nearly 80% of the time. It doesn't matter how moderate a Democrat pretends to be. And let's get real, almost none of them are moderate these days. Two more Democrat senators creates a Democrat majority. And any Democrat majority puts Chuck Schumer in charge of the Senate with the ability to set the agenda and the rules and give Kamala Harris the power to cast many consequential tie-breaking votes. Georgia on all our minds. The fate of the nation rests on who controls the Senate. And the fate of the Senate rests on who wins those two Georgia seats. This is arguably the most consequential moment in the history of the Peach State since Sherman's March to the Sea. Georgia will decide the course of the nation. That's why anyone who is encouraging Georgians to sit out the January runoff elections is doing Kamala Harris and Chuck Schumer's bidding, whether they know it or not. I fully sympathize with Americans who are upset about election fraud. But why in the world would you want to reward the cheaters by handing them the Senate? What possible good can come of that? Of course, the Democrats cheated in the 2020 election. They always cheat. What else is new? But we still need to win those Georgia Senate seats because, as Ann Coulter explained, if Republicans win, they will hold the U.S. Senate. Even with a handful of Mitt Romney's, the Democrats' most psychotic plans will be dead on arrival. That means, no Green New Deal, no District of Columbia statehood, no court packing, and no mass amnesty. But if they lose, the Democrats will have the trifecta: the presidency, the House, and the Senate, and welcome to hell. The person who stands to gain the most power from that hellish trifecta is Kamala Harris. The 2020 election may have already made her vice president. God help us if Georgia gives her the power to cast all of these tie-breaking votes in the Senate. Rebecca Mansour is senior editor at large for Breitbart News. Follow her on Twitter at @RAMansour.